AM. KSCO weather, plenty of sunshine after low clouds and fog at the coast giveaway. High temperatures today, 60s and 70s at the oceans, 80s and maybe some low 90s inland. The Saturday special today is brought to you by Specialized Aviation at the Watsonville and now Monterey Airports, where helicopter adventures, whale watching flights, and coastal tours depart daily starting at just $33 per person. Mention KSCO sent you and get a special buy two, get the third free on weekdays. Call Specialized Heli today at 831-763-2244 or online at spheli.com. 6 minutes past 10 a.m. on this Saturday morning. Time for hour one of the Saturday special with MZ.
Yo, Rick, may I ask you a personal question?
Certainly.
Have you done that? Have you called Specialized Heli? Have you gone up on one of their helicopter tours?
I had the opportunity to, yeah.
Was it as cool as I think?
It was really. I wanted to go up after they saw that white shark last week.
Oh, boy. Boy, I should do that already. Yeah, I mean, everybody else has done it around here except moi. So, anyhow, I'm going to get with the program. Alrighty, hey, nice to see you here today with your smiling face, and we're going to have a pretty good program today, I think, I hope, so let's start it out.
Good morning, a brighter day is here. Good morning, may we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Good morning, KSCO Land, it's MZ, and I'm happy to welcome you to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special. And more and more people are listening to us all over the San Francisco Bay Area. More and more people are listening to us worldwide over KSCO.com. And we hope you will enjoy what you hear for the next 2 hours and beyond. Stay with us.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Now, if you've been meaning to pick up a copy of your K's commentary book for KSCO, I'm K's Whirling. It's a K day, so you can do it today. And we're finally announcing that at the beginning of the program, like we should always do. My mom, Kay, will be down here signing copies of her books. For any of you who choose to buy it between now and noontime, maybe even a little beyond. Ma, what do you think?
I think that would be a good idea.
And anytime anybody buys your book, 100% of the proceeds, not 99, not 98, not
go right back into the station.
So if you like what you hear on this station and you want to help us be able to not only continue this kind of innovative radio but develop more, then come on down. That's just one way you can do it. The obvious other ways are, you know, go to our sponsors that you do hear and tell them that you're there because you heard it on KSCO, or purchase Youngevity health products, which really, really do work, and so many people do. And that there are all kinds of ways to support your favorite radio station. So, Ma, you'll be here right up until noon, maybe a little longer?
Maybe.
Okay, 2300 Portola Drive. Donation for the book suggested is $25 for the first book. But if you can't afford it, what's the deal, Ma? You decide.
Well, that's fine, but $15 for all other books, and they would make very nice gifts.
And if you can't afford any of that and want to talk about another way of doing it, then just say it.
Yes, and I look forward to meeting anyone who would like to come and chat with me.
Great. Okay, well, thanks for coming in, Ma, and it'll be nice to see you out there through the window. We will do our promo now for our program.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Ma. I have a friend named Gary who won't listen to talk radio because he has no patience for idiots. I have another friend named Rebecca who is sad that talk radio is typically so charged with emotion and anger that much needed rational discussion rarely takes place and our society continues to swirl down the toilet. After last week's contentious Saturday special with Roy Masters and Trucker Tom, two of the kindest and most intelligent and enlightened but tough-loving people I know in the world, I'm inclined to change the format of KSCO from talk radio
to intelligent lecture and interview radio, or at least limit the callers to those who understand, love, and respect Roy Masters and appreciate his incredible gift of human understanding. If you think the Rebecca I'm talking about is Rebecca Costa, you are correct, and she has agreed to appear on the next KSCO special, hopefully to be the catalyst for a reasonable, rational, valuable discussion with Roy Masters so that we can all learn something from this wonderful, brilliant man. Be with us this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12, right here on Control Your Emotions or Else Radio, AM 1080 KSCO.
Okay, so Rebecca, you heard a good part of last week's Saturday special, yes?
I did.
Okay, and had you heard Roy before?
I had not, no.
Had you, and you hadn't heard of him either? Or?
No, I didn't. I tuned into the program because I was interested in hearing what he had to say, but as you know, I wrote to you right after the interview and felt that I didn't really have an opportunity to learn what he'd have to say because I felt that there was just too much vitriolic exchange going on, and it just didn't seem productive to me.
Sorry to say is par for the course. Just about most of the time that Roy appears with us on KSCO, and I'm sorry to say that over the years, I think that that's great radio. When looking back, I should have felt that it was missed opportunity radio.
Well, I agree with you. I think, look, we always want to be entertaining, right? But there's a line that you can cross over where it's just foolishness at some point. And you don't ever want to cross that line. And, you know, as you know, radio is live theater. It takes on a life of its own, and sometimes it just becomes a runaway train. And, you know, it hurts to stand in front of a train that's moving. I mean, you can't stop
right.
it. So you know, I understand the radio side of it. But I always feel bad when it's somebody who does have a point of view, has something to say, and it's a missed opportunity. And I do understand that some callers will be upset and some will be zealous advocates. And, of course, as a talk radio station, you welcome all those views. But sometimes you just get flat out derailed, as you know.
Yeah. And so my plan is for that not to happen today. So.
Well, plan away, but whatever happens.
Well, we can control. I can control it by just saying no phone callers, and I'm not sure I want. I'm not sure I want to say that. I'm not sure.
No, don't do that.
I'm not
don't
sure I want to go that far.
Let's have callers, but hopefully we can keep the name calling out of it, the accusations out of it. Let's just try to, let's try to play nice.
So, did you do any Googling of Roy Masters?
Yes, I did.
So what is your impression of Roy Masters?
Well, I think he has a point of view. He has a voice. He's very clear about what he feels is causing consternation in the world. And you know my belief. I think radio is a phenomenal vehicle for getting information out there, but not trying to control anyone's decision about how they interpret that information or whether they even accept that information. I mean, we need to treat audiences with respect. Give them the data and let them make up their own mind. You know, and that's what my program's all about, too. I don't try to interpret what I hear. I just tell people this is what the thought leaders in the world have to say. Now you make up your own mind.
All right.
I don't want to do the work for people.
So until last week, you hadn't really heard of Roy Masters.
No, I had not. I'm sorry. I really hadn't.
And that's okay. No reason to apologize. Until about 2 hours ago, Roy Masters had not heard of you. And I pulled up a little Google piece on you and started reading that you are a sociobiologist. And he said to me, he asked me, that's very interesting sounding. What is a sociobiologist?
Well, a sociobiologist is basically a modern-day version of an evolutionary biologist. We try to look at whether there were things in our prehistoric history that might explain some of the bizarre human behaviors or some of the very wonderful human behaviors that we have going on in the world today. So we look at the biological genesis or origins of human behavior. And so, you know, when you talk about greed on Wall Street, well, you know, in earlier times, greed was a survival tactic when there were tremendous food and water shortages. Unfortunately, those that were greedy or uber collaborators, which worked together in small groups, those are the groups that lived and survived, and so their DNA is still on the earth. Those who maybe didn't learn to collaborate or didn't learn to other strategies such as greed, those guys, their DNA isn't walking around on the planet. They didn't make it. So we can explain a lot of human desires and intuition and even behaviors in terms of biological imperatives. Now, that said, there are higher instruments of our genetic inheritance and there are lower instruments. One way that religions have divided that up is that there are, you know, there are good human behaviors and then there are evil human behaviors. For example, a higher instrument of our great genetic inheritance is our generosity, you know, and our compassion for our fellow human. We have that in spades over the other animals. On the other hand, maybe a lower instrument might be what we share with other animals, such as greed, competition, violence, those kinds of behaviors we share with the other living organisms on the planet. So we do choose between the higher instruments of our genetic inheritance and the lower instruments of our genetic inheritance. And if you prefer to think of those as evil behavior and good behavior, that's okay too.
Well, is it possible to, I assume it's possible to, and you have received a degree in sociobiology?
I received a degree in combined social sciences because there was no such thing as a degree in sociobiology. I petitioned the University of California, but I'm almost 60 years old, and in those days they didn't have these tremendous hybrid degrees that they have today.
But they do have sociobiology somewhere today.
Oh, yes. I was mentored by the father of sociobiology, Dr. Edward O. Wilson, at Harvard University since 1975.
I see. Okay. Yeah, I've heard you talk about him before.
Yeah, and he wrote the foreword to my book, The Watchman's Rattle, and he was kind enough to come forward. I mean, he's written, I don't even know how many books. I'm going to say maybe 40 or 50 books.
Suffice to say you think very highly of...
it's just not my professional opinion. I think he's probably the greatest naturalist, or known as the greatest naturalist in the world. So I was very...
E.O. Wilson.
Yes, Edward O. Wilson.
Okay, great. Well, at 19 minutes past 10 a.m. on hour number one of the KSCO Saturday special right here on your favorite radio station, permit me to introduce Rebecca Costa, my friend, to my friend Roy Masters. Roy, this is Rebecca. Rebecca, this is Roy.
Well, I enjoyed every word you said, Rebecca, and I'm glad to meet you.
Thank you. I'm very happy to meet you, too.
So,
go ahead.
So what are we going to do to fix the world? If let's this is a, I can't think of a better place and a better people to start that kind of a discussion with than with you guys.
Well, may I make a point? I was listening very intently to the very sensible things that Rebecca was talking about, but I have a background. But just let me just start with. When I first started on radio in 1960, and having graduated from 7 years of hypnotherapy, I discovered the secret of how people are manipulated to do evil things and how one can rescue them without having religious language shoved down their throat. And so it is possible, and not only possible, but... It is practical. I've learned a technique which is accepted by the American Legion and it was lauded by the governor of Iowa and both houses. They passed a bill recommending that the soldiers use my technique called coping strategies, which cures a range of problems from all the way up to the PTSD. So I say, just quickly, that it is possible to change loyalties by stress, and it's also possible to change people's loyalty back to common sense and decency from their imperfect way of life or their wrong way of life. But there is a certain kind of person you cannot change, and those are the ones that are really evil that run the world. And so that's my introduction to my point of view, if you'd like to question me on that.
I don't think I have a question on that. I think that Mr. Masters will agree with me that many years ago...
You can call me Roy. You can call me Roy.
Thank you. Many years ago, we kind of made a weird turn in terms of understanding human nature and human beings, and suddenly it became a political thing where there were certain things that were politically incorrect to even introduce. And it all started when we, in my view at least, that we began believing that we were all a blank slate. We were born into this earth a blank slate, and then your teacher wrote on your slate, and your mom and dad wrote on your slate, and all these experiences eventually shaped you. But we allowed no room for any genetic inheritance, that we might have some predispositions or urges. And when we did that, we just completely denied the biological truth of our existence. And this troubles me a great deal right now as we see, you know, tribal warfare in the Middle East go on since forever. And we can't seem to get to any reconciliation. We're just in absolute denial of our genetic and biological history. And so, you know, I've been on the air and I've been writing books and I've been speaking all over the world just to introduce some awareness that we are not a blank slate and that each of us carries DNA from our early ancestors that benefited our early ancestors and allowed us to survive and be on the planet today. And I would just like to have that incorporated into the discussion a little bit more when we're looking at why we have the problems we have today. I do agree with Mr. Masters that absolutely 110% hypnosis has been proven to work not only on individuals but also in large groups. And we see that many times in cults, where hypnosis types of strategies and tactics are used. So we do know that that does work.
Well, I am a professional hypnotist, and there's hardly anybody I can't do that to. There's hardly, but the difficulty of, another word for hypnosis is sin. All who sin are slaves, your Bible says that. So that a person like myself, and I have to say that I'm not willing to harm people. I'm in the business of undoing the hypnotic state that most people live in. And to emphasize what a hypnotic state is that when you push somebody with and you intimidate someone with emotional pressure, if they do not have, well, when they're first born, it's true that they have a, I disagree that they don't have a clean slate. They're actually, you can impress upon a child, but remember, the child that we're impressing upon has a soul, and it also has a brain. And so when you put pressure on a child, or when you come into the world where you have a dysfunctional family, then the common sense of the child is violated by the behavior of the parent, because the child can see better, they can see, because the child is closer to the light, as I call it, so that he can see the dysfunction of the parent who cannot see it for themselves, because the person who has been traumatized as a child becomes a parent, and when the child becomes a parent, they cannot realize because of excuses and other mechanisms of denial that they cannot see that they're doing to their children what was done unto them, even if they try hard not to do it. To be the kindest parent in the world, even kindness is a form of seduction, which is a soft kind of violation. So that between anger of a child towards a parent and the over-kindness of a child to a parent who says to herself, I'm not going to be mean to my children the way where my parent was to me. So in deep in their mind, even they've got the problem of their parents, but they're compensating, so they become hypocritical. They actually be too nice to the children, which is equally hypnotic. So what you have is hurt and rescue. So there's two kinds of ways you can destroy a nation. And the way the socialists are doing it today is using the technique of hurt and rescue, so the same person you then and then make you get to you, destroy your relationship with your own common sense, so that the emotion blocks your ability to be true. And then you feel this guilt, and then you feel guilt. The person who does to you then either pushes more anger and pushes more religion or pushes more ideas upon you, have their way with you, or out of their own guilt try to be nice to you, but that only makes matter worse, because when you're nice to them that is unbroken, the brokenness is amplified, is welfare. Or kinder you are to welfare, along welfare, the weaker they become. So in love, which not is really love, it's love is spoiling, and hate, you destroy a human being and destroy a whole country. And the difficulty of dealing is that one year caught kinds of prisoners, is state. There's hardly a person that isn't programmed. Even you, Rebecca, your ideas that you have are given to you, so therefore you hold those opinions. So my purpose this evening, if I can, is disabuse you of those ideas that it's genetic, that human beings are spiritual. And therefore, the you can corrupt the spirit and replace that spirit with another identity, another program, which is evil, so that lots of people who are good still can't express themselves. They cannot express themselves because emotion has separated them from their common sense and entangled them with the predator.
Roy, you said something a minute ago about love isn't really love.
We don't know what the average man does not know what love is.
Do you know what it is?
Yeah, I do.
What is it?
It is. The evidence that you have love, the evidence that you see, I'm bringing God into this, if you don't mind.
I don't mind.
The evidence you how far away from God you are is how you react like an animal. But the evidence that you're close to God is means you are immune to pressures and intimidation. You cannot be touched. And when you cannot be touched, the person who tries to intimidate you meets with a strange reaction, which is not a reaction. So in a sense, when you try to upset me, I don't get upset, but the person who wants to upset me unconsciously has to upset me to advance their cause, to impress upon me a continuation of a program. But when I'm resilient to it, my reaction causes my enemy, adversary, to become upset with me, so the good in me gets inside them instead of the bad in them getting inside me.
Amazingly deep, and if I hear it enough, I'll probably understand it, Roy. But I'm still waiting for the answer to the question: if love is not really love, what is love? And I want a real simple answer if you could do it.
No, it's a very simple answer.
Can I inject in here?
Just let Roy give his simple answer to me first.
The simple answer is that love is a protection against evil and intimidation, cruelty. If you can learn to deal calmly, become resilient to the pressure, you are in control. You are the effect. You are not the effect of a cause. You are the cause of a good effect in the person. And that love, that is not trying to be lovey-dovey, is learning first to resist the injustice. The first thing you have to do is deal with the injustice, and the only way you can deal with injustice is to have the presence of mind, the natural presence of mind that cannot penetrate you. If you can be penetrated, you're broken. If you can't be penetrated, you break the breaker. You actually get to the person who's trying to get to you, but you get them with good. But good is
so that they run around like a dog with a burr in his ear, shaking his head violently.
Well, what? Who's that?
That's MZ, and I've heard you say that so many times.
Why
and
is it so difficult? Why is it so difficult?
That's easy. That's easy. I think that's great. That's great.
Okay.
If you know how to not respond, then the person who's trying to hurt you, you know, or get you into his or her control, it just reflects back on them. Anyhow, sorry, Rebecca. Yeah, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Okay. I mean, Mr. Masters said
he wants you to call him Roy.
Roy, I'm not used to that. So Roy said a lot of things. That was a very dense a dense talk. So, but let me just hit on one thing, and that is that let's go to God for a moment. Assuming that you have a spirit, and the spirit it can love and it can hate. It can become broken and hate.
Yes.
The truth is that and I just want to get one small thing out here. The truth is that the spirit is walking around in a biological spacesuit.
That's correct.
Right. It's in the biological spacesuit for now. That's maybe right. It wasn't before, maybe it wasn't after, depending on your religious belief. But right now, it's walking around in a biological spacesuit that wants water and food,
okay.
It wants companionship,
yeah,
and it wants a lot of things. And so the only thing that I would ask us to make an allowance for is that biological spacesuit is not without programming. It has some programming.
I agree.
And in many cases, what human beings are up against is overriding the programming with the good rational thinking that God has given you. One of the things that separates us, not the only thing, I want to make a point of saying, but one of the things that distinguishes humankind and makes us such an amazing and terrific organism is our ability to override these urges or this programming.
It is not the
greater good, and it is not a gesture that is made in love. I'm going to give a silly example, but I have a very, very difficult time with, and it's a silly example, I admit it, but I have a very difficult time with vanilla Häagen-Dazs ice cream. So many times I do a dinner here and I at my home, and I prepare some dessert that would go well with ice cream. But when all the guests leave, I'm going to have to make the decision not to go into the freezer and eat that Häagen-Dazs ice cream about 9,000 times before I go to bed. I'm going to have to say no, 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 no. So now I have a compensatory behavior. As soon as they leave, doesn't matter if it's an unopened carton, I walk over to the sink and I run hot water in it just so that I can release and free my mind from doing something that is destructive to me. And so I think that it's our rational mind that was given to us over many millions of years. In 3 million years, our frontal brow grew, and we developed this amazing frontal cortex. And to the extent that we leverage that frontal cortex, we can pave the way to make it easier in many ways to do the right thing. I truly
Rebecca, supposing that Häagen-Dazs ice cream was drugs, and supposing it was alcohol, but do you see how difficult it will become then? I say to you, listen carefully.
It is drugs and alcohol to me.
No, but listen.
That's what I'm trying to say. The same problem someone has with heroin, I have with ice cream. But it's no more powerful.
Oh, yes, yes, it is. It's more powerful. And the more you give into it, the more powerful it becomes. And the more you struggle with it, the worse. Your own struggle, your own attempt to save yourself only makes you worse. It's like the more you struggle, the deeper you sink in the swamp.
I don't struggle anymore.
But the point is, I made
a compensatory for myself. I designed one.
It's more about other people listening to the program than you at this point. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying that there is a reason that why 40 million people are on drugs, 40 million. And God knows 40 million people are alcoholics. And nobody can cure them. Nobody. But I have found a way to do this in 10 minutes.
How do you do it?
But that's a great question. I was waiting for you to ask that. You see, the reason why people have a hunger for something pleasurable is to relieve the guilt the conscience of its guilt. We all live in a way, as you could be living in a biological spacesuit, but there's also a spirit in there that is infinitely more powerful than the biology as far as behavior is concerned. Biology can keep you immune and all the rest of it, but a human being has a propensity towards good or evil, but most of us don't want to be evil. We want to be good. The trouble is the pressure, emotional pressure, the animal emotional pressure. When we're born and we come into the world and we come into a crazy world, then the emotions get the better of us, and they draw the consciousness that is normally objective, has an objective control over the emotional animal spacesuit self. It will draw it down and get it entangled with the emotion. So once your consciousness has been drawn down into the animal state, you cannot control your emotions, and the more you struggle down there, the worse it becomes.
Why don't we do this? Instead of talking theoretically, the two of us, and I think that what happens is we can start to almost sound, you know, like we're trapped in academia, and I don't want to have that happen. So why don't we use a specific evil behavior? Like, name a specific evil behavior, and then let's talk about that behavior.
How about drugs and alcohol?
Okay, so drugs and alcohol, you would say that the spirit has the ability to overcome that dependency, but nothing else.
Very easily. Mm-hmm. Or like in no time flat. Mm-hmm. Or all you need is the key.
And I do not argue.
Listen to Rebecca. Yeah. All you need, please don't put words in my mouth. I was just trying to make a point. All you need is to find a way to disengage, disentangle your consciousness from your subconscious animal self, so that it becomes the cue control over the animal, and in relationship with God. In other words, then guilt goes away. The secret is when you're tangled up in your emotions and you're struggling with it, trying to save yourself. Only God can save you. But when you try to save yourself, you are being tricked into making yourself worse. So that you have these endless loops of thoughts. You struggle and struggle, and pretty soon, before you know it, you're back to alcohol because the guilt grows, or you're ready to commit suicide through depression. The way to every human being on earth can be saved from every kind of emotion, whether it's drugs or alcohol, by relieving the guilt. The only reason why we drink and smoke and become addicted to drugs is because of guilt. It saves us from guilt. But when you are saved from guilt by alcohol, guilt increases. And when guilt increases, and you don't know how to detach yourself and find salvation, you get back to drinking again. And drinking gets worse, and the power of the pusher and the bartender grows in proportion to the fact that you struggle and you look to the bartender for salvation and the dope pusher for salvation. I tell you, Rebecca, once I have a CD that helps soldiers, and the American Legion has accepted it. It's Coping Strategies. The governor of Iowa and both houses, Democrat and Republican, have passed bills glorifying what I've done, and they have Patriot Outreach Day every year in Iowa because of this. I say this works, and I'm a professional at this. I understand. You understand your thing, but I understand my thing, and I can do exactly what I want, but the only thing that will prevent me from doing it is a person wants to. There has to be an inclination to want to find the purpose for which we were created, so we can walk around in our spacesuit body, and do the will of God on earth as it is in heaven, and deal with all the pressures of life and become a noble warrior of God. Very simple. Mm-hmm. I know how to do it. Now, if you want me to show you how it's done, I can show you how you can overcome your Häagen-Dazs ice cream problem.
Well, I always use that as an example because it's a little safer and it doesn't inflame people.
But it is not.
I'm not in danger of being politically incorrect. I will say this. I do understand and respect very much what you're saying about the spirit having the ability to override any
kind of genetic
imperative. We see evidence of that every day.
I
understand what you're saying about those emotional obstacles. They start from the moment you come into this earth and have experiences, and eventually those emotional obstacles can drive you into behaviors that are hate-based, whether it's hate-based to yourself or others, or love-based to yourself or to others as well. I do understand that. I think that the only thing that I add, it's additive, it's not conflicting with what you're saying, is that in my belief, it is possible to use your rational mind to acknowledge your behavior, to acknowledge your urges, to acknowledge your predispositions, and then to make your life a little easier, put in compensatory behaviors. Maybe you need to, when you go to the grocery store, not buy fatty foods if you know that your desire is that if there's carrots on the table and there's a donut on the table, your natural inclination is donuts. But I do want to add that I understand about myself not only that that is my free will, that I must choose, and I must try to address both my spirit and my mind in order to overcome that small Häagen-Dazs problem. Again, I'm using a silly example. But I also understand that there may be a reason that my body wants to, in its natural state, choose a donut over, a celery stick. And it may very well be that I am a descendant from tribes that experienced massive food shortages or water shortages, and that those who were better at selecting high calories survived, their DNA is walking around, and those who ate celery, they didn't make it. And so it may be that over millions of years, that predisposition will cleanse itself from my biological spacesuit. But today, it's not millions of years. So the environment has changed. It's not me that's changed so much as my environment now has a croissant on every corner. And now I have this battle, this internal battle, where I am a high-calorie-seeking organism, but I must now recognize that, acknowledge that impetus, and then come to terms with it, and this is where we have a slight difference, both in terms of my intellectual ability to preempt that behavior, as well as my spirit, in not shaming myself, in not punishing myself, but just simply, without judgment, acknowledging that those are my urges, wherever they may have come from, and that I need to deal with them.
Gee, Rebecca, that was so eloquent, particularly the part about your admission to the entire world that's listening right now that you are a high-calorie-seeking organism.
Yes, I am.
So am I. And I think we should start some sort of, an alliance.
Have no judgment.
A federation. What do you think, Roy?
I think she's dead wrong.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Here we have a disagreement, a respectful disagreement.
I have to call you Mr. Masters again now.
No, it's all right, Rebecca. It's all right. We can just.
Okay, so what's the problem? You know what? Hold that thought, okay? Hold that thought. This is a commercial radio station. If we don't play the commercials, we won't have the radio station. So, Rick, I think we've got our commercial break, yeah? It's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. Saturday special, hour number one. Roy Masters and Rebecca Costa meet historically here, right here and now. Call everybody you know, saying tune into AM 1080 or switch it or go to KSCO.com and listen to this fascinating discussion. And listen to these commercials first.
When the going gets tough, you need to call Aldolfo Garcia. Recently, we needed some work done here at the radio station. We called Community Tree Service, that's Aldolfo Garcia's company. He showed up immediately from the phone call. We said what we wanted done, which was a huge amount of work done. He and his staff were here at 8 o'clock the next morning. They followed all safety procedures. Community Tree Service are fully insured, and I was very impressed at the way they cleaned up the area after they'd finished working and clearing a huge amount of brush and trees. I love, love, love Community Tree Service. Adolfo Garcia is the owner of a local business. You can reach them at communitytreeservice.net. You can reach them at 763-2391. If you've got a job to do, when the going gets tough, Community Tree Service gets going. I love this company.
The original Stagnaro family has been in business since 1879. The Stagnaro name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. The family's Gilda's Restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters of the Santa Cruz area. It's where fishermen gather each morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hi. Dino looks forward to meeting you at Gilda's on the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
It's time to visit the True Olive Connection in Santa Cruz. Hello, I'm Susan Pappas with an invitation for you to come on down for a taste tour of the world of extra virgin olive oils and aged balsamic vinegars. Listen to what your friends and neighbors have found at the True Olive Connection.
I'm Terry from Morgan Hill, California. My wife drugged me in because she's buying some birthday presents. The blood orange oil with the dark chocolate balsamic, I'm in love.
So I think the six-pack is the greatest, and especially for a gift. It's just wonderful. Somebody can just get it and find out everything that they need to know about all this stuff. It's so wonderful.
Taste extra virgin olive oils, aged balsamic vinegars, and fused olive oils from around the world 7 days a week at the True Olive Connection Tasting Room at 106 Lincoln Street in downtown Santa Cruz. And by the way, you'll find the best gift ideas this side of Tuscany at the True Olive Connection. Opa!
There is a reason why George H. Wilson has been the Monterey Bay area's premier plumbing, heating, and sheet metal contractor for over 90 years. Hello, I am Tom Wilson, Vice President of George H. Wilson. The reason for George H. Wilson's success is we always strive to get your job done right, on time, and on budget. Please listen.
My name is George Brown. We need to replumb our cabin in Paradise Park. I had absolutely tremendous service from George Wilson and Company. I would recommend George Wilson Company without a doubt. Their crew has always gone above and beyond.
When you have a plumbing, heating, or sheet metal challenge, call on the mechanical contractor with over 90 years of experience solving those challenges. And that's your friends and neighbors at George H. Wilson, 831-423-9522 or gohwilson.com.
A proud member of Think Local First and a certified green business since 2005.
From San Jose to Salinas, Red Hot News Talk, AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz.
11 before 11 on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, just like the deep voice man said. It's MZ here, hour number one of the KSCO Saturday special. Also available worldwide at KSCO.com, streaming on the internet. Program the likes of which we've never had really before, because we have two very intelligent people, Rebecca Costa and Roy Masters, meeting each other for the first time. Talking philosophy of human brains and understanding and so forth. I think we're going to go ahead and open the phone lines next hour, not this hour. And I promised myself I was going to be good and not be Jerry Springer-ish. But I will. I will behave, ladies and gentlemen. But I don't think it's being too Jerry Springer-ish to say, okay, Roy, why do you think Rebecca's full of it?
Well, I didn't say that.
I know you didn't.
I wasn't disrespectful.
I know.
I have a different agreement.
You said
I was just saying that if Rebecca is right, there's no chance for the human race. You have to explain Hitler and how he controls a whole nation and the science of mind control as practiced by the Soviets, social engineering, We are looking at America, which is in a decline. When I, as I said, when I first started on radio in 1960, there never was a bad call. With all my these new ideas, everybody was fascinated. I had 10 lines. I never had any person to screen the calls. Never did I have the kind of calls you have today. Now our country is divided into the gross, disgusting people and the good people. And so the good people need to learn to have a defense against the intimidation, lest they also become consumed. And so, with all due respect to Rebecca, if she's right, there is no...
Wait, if she's right about what? You know, people are just tuning in. Yeah,
yeah. With the Häagen-Dazs ice cream, if she can't deal with that, then how do you expect people who have a history of being alcoholics and dope addicts through the generation?
But I am dealing with it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Roy. She is dealing with it.
I am dealing with it.
No, but you're not dealing very well with it. You're having struggles.
Yeah, yes,
with
I
it.
Am. I never eat Häagen-Dazs ice cream. Haven't
yeah,
had
but
it yet.
You still have a problem with it.
I have found a way to mitigate and manage my problem so that it doesn't present a problem to me. In other words, one of our great capacities as humans is to be able to do thought experiments, right? Preview the outcome of our actions, and then, better than any other animal, take an action today, immediately, in the present, to prevent that outcome. That is a phenomenal, that is, from a biological standpoint, that is a miracle. That we are able to do that. We can see what climate change is going to do. We can see what storing nuclear rods in the ground is going to do. We can collect data, and we have a pretty good idea. If we don't make it political, we have a pretty darn good idea of the direction things are going to go in, and we can take action in the present to change that outcome. Now, there is no other organism walking the planet able to do that. That is rational thinking.
I don't think that the human. I see the problems in this country, and the mental institutions are full and overflowing. The prisons are full with overflowing. There's 40 million drug addicts, and there's no help for them. And the Mexican border is overflowing with people fighting to service those alcoholics and drunks and drug addicts. I say to you, you're dead wrong.
And about what?
I don't mean to be rude. I don't mean to be rude.
You're not rude, but you see, she's dead wrong about what?
About the fact that you can rationalize what people do when they're compromised. The evidence that you have been acted through by another person is a shame, and the tendency for that person is to make an excuse. Now, I'm going to ask everybody in the audience: have you ever made an excuse? An excuse is a lie. You tell yourself that so that you can avoid seeing that you did wrong. And so who are you making an excuse to? It's either to somebody else that you're confusing or to God, your conscience, which is trying to make you feel pain so that you can see what you've done wrong. The trouble is, once you've been corrupted, you tend to defend the problem and defend the kind of people and go to the kind of people like the pusher with the addict for reassurance so that you are losing control of your country and authorities are getting the better of you, and slowly but surely, as authorities are in our environment.
I think all three of us will agree to that we're losing the control of our country.
What is going to get control back?
Well, in order to have shame, you have to have judgment, right? I mean, there has to be a judgment. I've acted correctly or incorrectly before shame can even occur. But let's go back to the drug thing, because that's the example we're sort of using today.
But it's a very important thing.
It is one. And all of the problems that you point to, I agree with. I think you'd have to have a one-digit IQ not to agree that our circumstances on the planet today are not good. They've steadily deteriorated, and they will
continue. We can change those circumstances.
Until they become chaotic if we don't start thinking and behaving and responding in ways that we were intended to. Now, let's use the drug example. we can go back to the earliest evidence of man, right? The earliest evidence that we have, where they were drawing idols on cave walls to make them more fertile, protect them from large predators, help them catch larger game so that they could expand their numbers in their tribes. But there's also evidence that even the most prehistoric men and women were liked drugs. They used drugs. They medicated on cocoa types of plants and other kinds of things that would put them in an altered state. Would you make the argument that they were driven by shame and guilt then?
Yeah. Look, what can... Yes, of course.
Okay,
humans,
so they were driven by shame and guilt as well.
Those who want to rule us have a way of keeping us from discovering how we can become free human beings. There's a struggle between freedom and dictatorship. That's been going on for a long time. And the truth of that has been hidden over the years. And there was a man called Jesus Christ that came into the world, and they killed him for his ability to shine and the light on human beings and to save people from the morass of their miseries. If what you're saying is true, there's no possible cure for the human race. And if what I'm saying is that we have it within us a power to reverse the effect that environment has on us. In my world where I live in, I have a positive effect on the world I live in. And everybody that comes in contact with me and comes to my seminars, even though they have been sick for 20, 30, 40 years, walk away within a day or hours of coming to the ranch, and they go home as individuals that are able to deal with stress and conquer that which was conquering them.
Don't question whether you're successful or you're effective. I don't know why you exclude intellectual or rational means.
Intellectuals are idiots.
Well, just let me finish.
The intellectual is an idiot.
Look at Alcoholics Anonymous, and that is all about
my question.
Behavior, right? It's about compensatory behavior. It's just
no,
like
intellectuals are a danger to us. The intellectual is a person who's all knowledge and no common sense. The intellectual has to be watched.
Hey, easy on the compliments.
You don't trust an intellectual. You don't trust an intellectual. He has no common sense. There are people with intellects. I have an intellect, but I'm in control of it. It's not.
Boy, there are some people. There are some people who don't think you're credible, just because you don't have.
I don't care about.
Letters behind your name.
Yeah.
Oh, that doesn't really matter.
And that doesn't matter to me either.
No, it doesn't matter to me.
But that matters to a heck of a lot of people, which I think are idiots themselves. You know, I think that.
People. We don't care.
Intellectuals, in my view, are just another cross section of society. There's bad ones, good ones, and a lot of average ones.
But my dear friend, my dear Rebecca, you are an intellectual, and you have learned all these things, and I'm questioning that you need to question them.
Just because she's an intellectual, Roy? Come on.
It's
sort of like you're allergic to intellectuals.
Oh, no, I'm not. I said there's a kind of intellectual. See, I have an intelligence, as you see. But I've discovered stuff. And life is a journey of discovery, not being imposed upon by someone else's idea or theories.
Well, I haven't exactly been living in a glass bubble.
I know that you haven't.
Japan, 4 years during the Vietnam War in Laos and Cambodia. I mean, I've lived all around the world, and
have you been able to help somebody with a problem? Have you been able to help somebody with that problem of their inheritance and their genetic programming?
You would have to ask them. I would not presume to.
Okay, we're within 10 seconds of the news at the top of the hour. Great first hour. We got a great second hour ahead, I'm sure. It's KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 11 a.m.
CBS News, I'm Pam Coulter. The duel in the pool coming up at the Olympics. CBS's Steve Futterman is in London.
In Beijing, 4 years ago, everything Michael Phelps did turned to gold. In a half hour, we will see if Phelps still has his Olympic golden touch as he competes in the 400-meter individual medley final. Earlier today in the first round, Phelps had a less than impressive performance. He barely made it into the finals. Phelps isn't the only American in this race. Ryan Lochte is also in the final. Many consider Lochte the favorite. Steve Futterman, CBS News, at the Olympic Aquatic Center in London.
The American women's basketball team cleared the first hurdle in repeating their gold medal performance, beating Croatia today. Aleppo in the crosshairs. Syria's largest city is the subject of a heated battle between rebels and regime forces. CBS's Elizabeth Palmer is following the situation from Beirut.
It looks as if the battle for Aleppo has begun. Government troops have been shelling and attacking from the air western neighborhoods of Aleppo, where the rebels have been digging in all week.
Aleppo is considered a key test of the Assad government's staying power. With the election approaching, it's unlikely much will get done in Congress as the year winds down. CBS's Bob Fuss.
With a host of knotty problems on their plate heading into the election, congressional leaders are ready to punt on the dozen bills required each year to fund the government. At odds over everything, Senate Leader Harry Reid says Democrats and Republicans are negotiating over a temporary funding bill to just keep things going until next year.
Discussions are going on. They have been very productive. I'm hopeful and confident we can reach a conclusion in the near future.
Agreement would prevent risk of a government shutdown, the last thing anyone wants right now. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
A 24-year-old victim of the Colorado movie shooter is being remembered today. Jessica Gawey, an aspiring sports reporter, was one of the 12 killed at the Aurora Batman premiere. Her boyfriend, Jay Meloff, spoke at the service in Gawey's hometown of San Antonio.
Jesse and I enjoy the moment to moment of each day. She drank in life and celebrated the little things that made us uniquely us.
Funerals are also being held for Air Force Sergeant Jesse Childress and Matt McQuinn, who was shot three times while shielding his girlfriend from harm. It's expected to be a weekend of protests in Anaheim, California. KNX reporter John Baird.
Demonstrators plan to protest near Disneyland today and at the Anaheim Police Department tomorrow. This after three police shootings within a week, two of them fatal, one of them involving an unarmed man. Police say 25-year-old Manuel Diaz was evading arrest, but his death led to 4 days of demonstrations, including a violent clash between protesters and police last Tuesday night outside a city council meeting.
This is CBS News.
Do you have dark circles under your eyes that make you look tired? Do you have bags or puffiness? Hi, I'm board certified plastic surgeon Dr. Steven Greenberg. When patients ask me about dark circles or puffiness around their eyes, I tell them about a breakthrough cream called Lumitone. Now you're invited to try Lumitone for free. Lumitone was made to work in two ways. It instantly fades dark circles from view and relaxes the look of puffiness. The results are so dramatic. I've tried this in hundreds of my own patients and they love it. Stop looking tired and start looking refreshed. If you have dark circles or puffiness under your eyes, call now.
Right now, listeners of this station are invited to try Lumitone free. Pay only a small shipping and handling fee. For details, call 1-800-469-0252. That's 800-469-0252. This free offer is available while supplies last. Call 1-800-469-0252. That's 800-469-0252.
11:04 on this Saturday morning. You're tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Rick O'Shea with a King of the Hill traffic update. Some bad traffic on Highway 101 southbound. Had a collision occur just before 10:30 this morning. 101 southbound at San Martin Avenue. Traffic is backed up all the way to the 85 interchange. Again, southbound one at a virtual standstill from Coyote Creek Gulf Drive into San Martin, slowing again in Gilroy because of the Gilroy Garlic Festival. Northbound 1 in Santa Cruz also extremely slow from Park Avenue northbound through Soquel Drive. 17 south off of 85 is slow as well through Los Gatos. Breaks up by about the summit and again slows as you hit Ocean Street. We do anticipate heavy traffic this weekend because of a number of events. We just mentioned the Gilroy Garlic Festival. which started yesterday and will run between 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. today and tomorrow. Also, Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca has a race this weekend that lasts until 10 p.m. today and tomorrow. That'll slow things. And then in Moss Landing, a major antique show in Moss Landing that will definitely impact Highway 1 tomorrow. Traffic will certainly be slow in all these areas. The forecast will play ball nicely. A warm weekend. High temperatures 60s, 70s in the cooler spots of the coast, 80s and low 90s inland. Before we start hour two of KSCO and the Saturday special, time for the latest K's commentary.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is K's Whirling.
This is the first commentary in my book. It all started about 40 years ago in our pristine, beautiful Santa Cruz, population 15,000. While many rejoiced when the University of California chose Santa Cruz for their new campus, I felt uneasy, sensing that this quiet little piece of heaven would never again be the same. The small colleges planned did become a reality, but the young minds were not allowed to flourish, at least not in the political sciences department. Conservative students taking part in KSCO programming confirmed that fact. They felt stifled, intimidated, and ostracized. Some professors in the political sciences called themselves the New Left and made sure their students understood the Marxist philosophy. The leftist newcomers who embraced Santa Cruz as their own set out to make sweeping changes in our formerly conservative city. Our previous leaders did not allow any pollution-producing industries. They were sensitive to the environment long before the lefties thought they had invented that concept. Among the new changes, Santa Cruz was declared a nuclear-free zone, war was rejected because it was hateful, duh, and now peace is patriotic. Our Navy ships are denied permission to come to Monterey Bay, new businesses are discouraged, and our leaders actually declined federal funds to widen Highway 17. Santa Cruz has become a place not allowed to grow, but it's growing anyhow, a place run by liberal extremists who spend money foolishly. Since 9/11, the world has forever changed. Global terrorism will have to be dealt with perhaps forever. Now our country is buckling under the years of state, local, and federal excesses, not the least of which are enormous salaries, pensions, and hidden perks which our leaders quietly give themselves. Plus, open borders, validation of illegals, and rewarding illegals with amnesty, driving licenses, and the right to vote. Our leaders are making a farce of our Constitution, all for the almighty vote. Corruption is acceptable, and yes, Santa Cruz is a sanctuary city. And finally, again, the prophetic parting words of my Cabrillo College history professor in 1967 continue to haunt me. His chilling prediction that the United States will eventually become a third world country. What can we do to stop the madness? For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
Well, I guess that makes us, that takes us to the beginning of hour number two of the Saturday special. And I've been busy reading this email, Roy versus Rebecca, from Georgia Beardsley. Do you want to hear what Georgia Beardsley has to say about the Roy versus Rebecca show? Well, okay, but let's hear, we can't, it just wouldn't be right for me to read that email before we started hour number two officially.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back.
Now, this program is going to be civil for the entirety of the program, or I'm going to do something drastic.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
Okay, Georgia says, in the subject line, Roy versus Rebecca. Michael, even though this is a very civilized program today, no yelling, etc., the reality is Rebecca is coming from her intellect. Roy, from his understanding of the power of the spiritual nature of man and how that power is our greatest power. We just don't know that. We are a country that is spiritually bankrupt, and if we don't wake up, we will be run by these intellectual monsters. Great show. Okay, that's from Georgia. Now, there was somebody else, who was it, a wonderful friend of KSCO, Alan, who says, there's no subject, but in the body it just says, boring. Hey, Roy. Hey, Rebecca.
They're listening to a boring show.
I'm wondering if Alan is still listening, yeah. Or if he had, or if he really turned off the radio.
He didn't.
He didn't say that. He just says boring.
I know, but he's listening.
He might not be listening, Roy.
I tell you,
if you hear something that's really boring, do you continue to listen?
No, but
there's more important things to do in life that aren't boring.
I'm not boring. I'm not boring. Otherwise, I wouldn't be on the radio for 53 years and successful. A boring person doesn't get that way.
I think Roy said it earlier in the first hour that you can't force feed anyone. You know, you can put the information out there, but if someone thinks it's boring and wants to turn the dial, they're going to do it. We don't have control over it.
But I have lots of people who resent me. Listen carefully, because here's an interesting point. A lot of people listen to me and resent me for what I'm saying. They're not just bored, they're angry.
Now that's an understatement.
I think.
That's an interesting thing. And I find that there's many people who really resent me and are fixated by that resentment, that hypnotic relationship with me. They cannot not listen.
Roy, I have watched it.
Listen to that guy.
I have observed it so.
You know it, they're listening to me again.
Yeah, I have observed it so many times. People hear you for the first time and they're inclined to have a nervous breakdown.
That's right.
How do you feel about that, Roy? I mean,
perfectly happy with it.
Does that make you feel powerful? Be honest.
No. I didn't say make me feel powerful. I said that's how hypnosis works. I have, without meaning to, because of my strength, natural strength, but not mean strength, I have my natural strength to stand up for what's right, disturb the people who stand up for what's wrong, and they haven't got a chance of a snowflake in hell to beat me at it. They end up being confused, angry, and down they go. Everything gets worse for them, and the ones that love me get better. That's the choice I give them. Period.
Well, you know,
would love me. Case Swirling loves everything I'm saying.
Well, we do know that when people become agitated and highly emotional, that
right.
Well, she's here. Do you want to come in, Mom? That was your cue. She's citing a book or something.
Okay.
Well,
I was just going to say that the brain becomes flooded with chemistry. We can't find our vocabulary.
There you go.
Can't make thoughtful. I mean, we know physiologically what happens when people become highly agitated. That's why we have all these disaster movies where somebody goes crazy and someone's got to smack them across the face to kind of bring them back into reality so they can think and they don't jeopardize the survival of the group.
Yeah, but the thing is, when people get angry at truth, with me standing up, where people hate truth, bad people hate truth, they hate Sarah Palin and they think she's a slut.
actually, they're the people that think that way are really wicked people. They hate good. And if they hate the good in me, they're in trouble because I emotionally get to them and turn the tables on them. That's what we need to do to save our country, to turn the tables on the people who try to demoralize us with their intimidations. And well, I intimidate the wicked ones
and release the good ones. In this country, I have this discussion with environmentalists all the time, and I tell them, you know, if, only maybe, let's say, 15% of the people agree with and support extreme environmental policies, how are you ever going to have any social change? What it takes to have social change is that you must recruit and you must build a bridge. You have to build critical mass to have social change. Otherwise, you're relying on false prophets like Hitler to come along. So you've either got to get on the airwaves and put information out there and bring people along. But I think alienating people will never get you to critical mass where you can have anything.
Whoa, I'm not alienating people. I'm actually helping people. I alienate the wicked ones and shoot them down.
Why?
In a manner of speaking, it's just as a metaphor.
Why do that, though?
Huh?
Why?
Why not?
Because there's an opportunity. You have
you don't get it. You don't get it. Wicked ones.
Now, wait a minute. Now, Roy, you brought Kay Zwirling, my mother's name, into it. And I forgot what you said. What did you say?
I was listening to your mother's commercial.
Commentary, yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
Okay.
Well, that isn't hi, Roy.
Hello, Kay.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Kay.
I was invited to join, and I said no, but I can't let it go that Roy said that I enjoy and believe everything he says.
No, I didn't say that.
No, what did you say?
Yes,
what
did you say that.
No, wait. What did Roy say? Roy, what did you say?
I said Kay loves what I'm saying.
What?
Kay loves what I'm saying.
Okay,
that's what
well, I don't. I like some of the things that you say, Roy, but I can't love the things you say. I think you're a very sensitive person and you're very bright, but I also feel that you feel that everything that you think and say is the right thing. And that's not necessarily true,
well,
because
right
other people have...
It's right about the wrong. It's right about wrong people. It's right about that, you know, we agree that the left is controlling this country and taking it over.
Well, now we're talking politics.
Yeah, that's
but,
right.
But aside from politics...
But that's
I don't think there is any one person who is right about everything. And so the one thing that I think you have to learn, Roy, and I do like you very much and I respect you, but you have to learn to take criticism more gracefully than you do.
Well, all right. I think that you need to take criticism, too.
Of course, but we're not talking about me.
So
we're talking about you. I'm not
everything.
On the. I haven't been on this program, and I listened last week.
The one with Trucker Tom and Roy.
Yeah, you were ballistic if somebody said something that you didn't agree with, human beings have a right to have their opinions. And if they want to listen to you, and you know that you've helped a lot of people, well, that's good. But there are not everybody agrees with you, and I think that you should be more graceful about handling that, because I was listening, and every time somebody called and started to say something negative about you, you said to Michael, get him off the air. That's not the right thing to say. Not for a gentleman like you who should be fair.
Are you talking about Tucker?
I'm talking about the callers that that wanted to talk.
It's sort of what spurred this program, because Rebecca sent me an email, which I thought was just beautifully written. I read it to you over the phone privately. Wouldn't it have been nice if that last week's program, which I like sort of Jerry Springer radio, riveting radio, where people are yelling at each other sometimes, but Rebecca pointed out to me in this email, gee, wouldn't it have been better? Roy has so much to share, and if you could have had a rational discussion, and that's what we're doing here. Guess what, Roy? I agree with what my mom said. I love you very much. I think you're wonderful, but I do think you have a hair trigger with people that you shouldn't have sometimes.
Well, and you know what else, Roy? You're older, and as I'm older also, but I don't think we're ever too old to learn new things. And if you learn to be nicer to people who disagree with you, I think that you would be very much more effective.
Yeah. And so I think that you're condescending to me.
No, I'm not.
Listen, no, you let me finish.
Okay.
Let me finish.
You'll never learn if that's what you think.
No, you're condescending right now, and I just want... Listen, we're having a nice discussion, and let me say, you have said something to me that is improper. You're condescending. You're talking down to me. I don't like that.
I'm not talking down to you. Do you think that there's nothing wrong with you?
I haven't finished. Whenever you let me...
I'm not condescending.
Okay, go ahead. Finish, Roy.
Okay, and so I didn't say I knew everything, and I didn't say I was always right, in a sense. But I know what I'm right on. I know I'm right on how to deal with people, and I know I'm right that emotions are your enemy, and our enemies understand the weakness of our emotional state, and if we don't learn to deal with those emotions and stay calm under that pressure, as a nation and as an individual, we're done.
Okay, you just said that you know how to deal with people.
Nothing more. I'm not right about politics. I'm not right about anything else except what I know best. And you, if you want to talk down to me, fine.
I don't want to talk down to you.
And I will take a challenge on it, but not to anyone to be condescending.
I'm not condescending.
To be a human being. I don't like it.
Okay.
All right, Kay, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Now, let's see.
Why is it that everybody who called in was angry with Roy?
I don't know that everybody was.
Well,
a lot
of them were. So he just said he knows how to deal with people. Evidently, there are a lot of people that he wasn't able to deal with because he was too angry.
I don't like to deal with Hitler's. I don't like to deal with Mussolini's or Stalin.
You just said deal with people.
All right, but those are the kind of people I shut down.
The evil people, yeah.
The wicked ones.
Yeah. Okay.
And I shut them down, and that they belong to be shut down.
I still like you, Roy.
But anyway, I disagree with you. It's nice that we talk.
Okay. It is 11:24 on AM 1080 KSCO, and we haven't even invited phone calls, and we have jammed phone lines. So out of courtesy to Ma, thank you, Ma. You want to stay here?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'll listen.
You listen out in front. Okay.
Commercials.
Oh, well.
Commentary. They're very good.
Yeah. Okay, good. We'll do commercials, but not now. Poor Margaret has been waiting forever, so let's bring Margaret in and welcome her to KSCO with Roy and Rebecca and MZ. You're on, Margaret.
Hi. Okay. Hey, Rebecca, you're Haagen-Dazs. You know, that is politically incorrect to us vegans and us organic anti-GMO advocates. I mean, Haagen-Dazs is cream derived from tortured cows. And it's GMO sugar. You know, I'm just saying that sarcastically, but it is true. So I don't know about that politically incorrect Haagen-Dazs comment. But, you know, I am so tired of the welfare bashing of the poor and the mentally ill, because what about the real welfare and corporate welfare, the senators, the Congress, the government servants, the pond scum, having all the tax breaks, the awesome medical insurance care, the pensions, you know, the corporate welfare. They are the real hardcore beggars, the hardcore thieves and the whores. And another thing, I heard with my own ears, Rebecca Costa, you said on the Corey Gold Show on noon that, quote, the Constitution is just an old, out-of-date piece of paper.
Whoa.
So, I don't know.
Wait a minute.
I know Rebecca Costa has a real gooey, gooey dialect to the way she talks, but the
and I, and come on, Margaret,
it's
you're
true.
Not fighting.
Gooey, gooey. But whatever, okay, that's okay. That's all right, though.
This is not you. This is, come on. You can't.
Is this the devil coming out of,
No, the thing is.
I
would like to clarify. Yes. I have never said the Constitution.
Is Margaret possessed here? What do you think, Roy?
No, I don't think she's possessed.
Okay.
No, I'm not.
No, you're not.
It's a little off subject.
It is off subject, and we got to get back. But listen, Margaret, the only time I know that Corey talks back and forth with Corey, you know, just about every week, you know, as a lead in to Rebecca's show. When do you say that she said such a thing about the Constitution?
Months ago, when she first began airing on KSCO.
Boy, we should get a date, because we got a copy of everything, and I want to hear that. I can't believe Rebecca would say that.
Yeah, there's no way.
Yeah. Okay. Margaret, you waited a long time. We want to give you a chance to finish up here. We've got a lot of other callers, including Roy's favorite, Billy Sunshine.
Okay, hello?
Yeah, you're on.
Yeah, to just finish up, I just want to say, you know, the whole Sarah Palin thing, the reason they hate her so much is because over 95% of all the amniocentesis diagnosed Down syndrome babies are late-term aborted in the United States. That's 95%. She did not late-term abort her Down syndrome baby. And when you've got 300 babies late-term aborted every day in the United States, that brings out a lot of hate and anger, because there's 50 people involved in every late-term abortion. And I think that's where the venom and the hate comes to Sarah Palin, because she chose to keep that baby.
Okay.
I don't know.
Margaret, thank you for calling the Saturday special. Next caller, Billy in Capitola. I assume it's Billy Sunshine.
We need to screen some of these calls. Billy is not going to do you any good.
Okay. Billy, go ahead, quick.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Roy.
Okay.
How are you, darling?
You want me to beat you again?
Yes, I do. That's exactly what I want. In fact,
okay,
I
don't want it to degenerate. Do you have something to contribute?
Yes,
you know,
I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Otherwise,
if I could be heard. If Roy will be quiet for a second. What I wanted to do is just sort of say, it's always interesting radio when Roy is on, Michael. I do appreciate your putting Roy on. And I want to remind everybody that one of the things they can find on KSCO is the tape of when Roy Masters meets Billy Sunshine. And it's some of the greatest radio ever. We really had great fun that day. We were out of control.
I think that was December 30th, 2001, I think.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're right. But it's on there, and really, it is just hilarious radio. Roy calls me Hitler. He calls people who agree with me Hitler lovers. You know, the one thing you got to agree, Mike, you think Roy is, as you say, one of the kindest people you know. Roy's a lot of things, but kind, he's not.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. I think MZ should play that program and show that it's not exactly what they said.
When should we play it?
Not exactly what he said. He came out a loser.
We could play it. We could play it toward the end of this program for 5 minutes or so.
You called the police on him. You even called the police on him.
Yeah, I did call. I told the board op to call 911, and the board op got so upset because she liked Billy Sunshine and didn't want to call 911, so she quit right on the air.
There you go.
Yeah.
I create a stir.
Right. So anyhow,
so
all right.
Rebecca's now had the Billy Sunshine experience. We'll chat about it sometime, Rebecca.
Okay. So anyhow, thank you for calling, Billy. JT in Watsonville, welcome to KSCO. You're on the air with Roy and MZ and Rebecca.
Hello, KSEO. This is JT, and I'm calling because I know all of you guys from your radio personalities and some of you in person. I want to say Kay has a wonderful point of view and a whole lot of information that she gives out to people. I own her book. I've had it signed by her, and she's wonderful.
I agree.
Yes. Rebecca, I've listened to your show. I've talked to you on the air. We had a wonderful conversation. You have a perspective, and your perspective, from my opinion, has been through your life experience and through your indoctrination of education, which can be a wonderful thing, tempered with a little bit more understanding. MZ, I know Kay had her hands full with you, but you're always fair and you let us all speak. And now for Roy. Mr. Masters.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say, I've listened to you for years. I totally understand your position. When you know in your heart that you are right, when you know inside of yourself that what you believe in is true and right, and I agree with many of your perspectives, it is so difficult to be politically correct. It's so difficult to say, well, it's okay if you feel that way. When you know in your heart the people are burning themselves down. Can you speak to that?
Yes, I do.
Can you speak to that?
I can't help myself, and that's who I am.
And exactly right. So,
and it may be genetics. It may be genetics, but it isn't.
You know, I just wanted to throw my two cents in and say, all you people there, and especially you, MZ, for inviting people to come in and talk, and Rebecca to come in and face Roy, because that's not an easy thing, and Roy's handling you with kid gloves today, just so you know. I mean, I'm listening. I've heard Roy's shows, and like you said, last week was pretty much vintage Roy. If you're not gonna let me help you, hang the damn phone up, because I don't want to deal with you. But today, okay, he's being a total gentleman. I appreciate that, Roy. Rebecca, thanks for coming in. MZ, thanks for the show, and I'll send it off with that.
Thank you, JT.
MZ,
go ahead, Rebecca. Stay on, JT.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm here.
I just want to say, JT, that the reason Roy is, as you would characterize it, handling me with gloves, is because I haven't given him any reason not to. You have to understand that it's an attack. Right? It's an attack on what he's saying or what he believes. It's disrespect. It's undermining. Those are the things that he has to respond to. But I would never provide a reason for Roy to have to handle me any differently than respectfully. And that is something I can control on my end by not misbehaving. And that was what I was hoping would happen in this show. I was hoping that Roy and I, though we have somewhat different perspectives, now again, I do believe in the spirit, and I do believe in the spirit existing in the body at this particular time, but I don't disagree with him in a way that would solicit that from him.
Well, that's true.
Thank you so very much. This is what I'm going to say. When you're fighting with someone who has nuclear weapons, you need to queue up your ballistic missiles, too. And whether you've done your homework or whether you just naturally do this, and I hope you do, Roy doesn't attack outwardly towards you. He comes at you from a position of love, and he tries to understand and get inside of your head and reach in there. Particularly in the first hour, I heard him say things that were remarkably true from my experience, and I'm not a young guy. But you've come into this with a position of, I'm going to interact with this gentleman, Mr. Masters, as you called him, glad to call him Roy, in a way that he interacts so we can be on the same turf. And in that way, I think, I won't say you've elevated yourself, because I've listened to your show. You're really wonderful, and you're good at what you do. But you've come into it, and you're meeting him on common ground, and you guys are having a wonderful discussion. Good KSEO radio. The boring comment was just off the wall. They must be asleep or looking for football or baseball or something.
Well, Alan is one of the longest standing supporters of KSEO, and he said, boy.
Well, you know what? Maybe he's hungover, MZ.
Well, I don't know. Maybe the show has gotten better. I don't know.
The show's good. You know what? All you guys, God bless you. Take care. God bless KSCO, best station in the whole Central Coast.
Only Central Coast?
Well,
okay.
You know what, MZ? I'm a small man here, sir. I'm a small man, so that's all I can
do. No, thank you. Thank you for the compliment. Roy, I screwed that one up, didn't I? I should take any compliment at all.
I say to you that you are the best, one of the best, what positions, moderators, I don't know, your talk show host, I suppose.
Well, he was talking about the radio station, I think.
Yeah, I'm talking about you.
Oh.
You are the best at what you do. I have not encountered anything better than you. You are fair.
Roy, I'm having a hard time keeping from puffing up now.
No, I'm being...
Which you said, don't ever do when someone gives you a compliment.
We're having a respectful disagreement. This is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, would you like to hear from Art in Big Sur, Rebecca?
I'm afraid.
Would you like to hear from Art in Big Sur, Roy?
I would like to hear from anybody, and if it needs to be shot down, it gets shot down.
Art and Big Sur, welcome to Roy, who may shoot you down if you don't behave properly. And well, welcome to Rebecca, and welcome to MZ, and welcome to KSCO.
Yes, thank you for having me on. And gosh, your introductory comments there are a bit freighted with an overwrought impression of what people back in the hills and on the coast might think. But I'd like to get back to some of the more philosophical aspects of what was being discussed earlier, and I really enjoy hearing Roy sounding on this. I've listened to Roy for many years. His was a very kind of mesmerizing voice coming late at night on KRLA down in Los Angeles when I would listen to him. So I'm pretty familiar with his point of view and can respect it. And I was interested how, in this free-ranging discussion, how Kay's commentary came into play here, because I think there's a truth that you're getting at about the relation, as Justice Kennedy talked about in the Obamacare decision, the fundamental relationship between the individual and the state. And I think a lot of these pathologies that we see, these anxieties that are created, are because we're overreaching. We're getting beyond what we need to do to be self-respecting individuals, and the things that we do for ourselves, which dignify our human existence, as Roy would have it, and that as government inserts itself and arrogates those functions to itself, it alienates the individual. It alienates the individual from the natural community that they share. Kay's commentary about, you know, how Santa Cruz used to be a much more homogenous type of community, and where there was a consensus about a lot of things that today are very much in dispute. And I'm also, not to range too far around, I want to give you something that maybe you can latch onto here, but this notion of the intellectuals and intellectualizing things and trying to program things, and, you know, the kind of statist the sort of status assumptions that arise out of that, I think are really poisoning our relations with one another and lead to these kind of pathologies. So I'd be interested to hear either Rebecca or Roy chime in on any of that, if I've brought the conversation around at all.
Rebecca, you go.
I guess what I would say is, I don't know why everybody has to think it's either or. I am a supporter of the power that mending and healing our spirit and using and understanding our spirit in a way that we can come from a place of love. I'm a huge advocate of that. Where I differ is not an either-or situation. It's an end, A-N-D. I do believe that there is a reason that over the last 3 million years we've been blessed to develop a frontal cortex, which is the CEO of our brain, and will allow us to make decisions, sometimes not necessarily from a spiritual basis, but allow us to design systems which would facilitate us acting in a loving way. I'll give you an example. Let's just use fidelity as an example. Every animal is driven to reproduce as much as it can, as often as it can.
But you don't see humans mating on the street, on doorsteps, at schools, in restaurants. You don't observe that. Part of that is because we can come from a loving place with our mates or we have empathy to those around us. Part of that's just civilized society. But another part of that, when it comes to fidelity, is being able to preview the harm we would do and choosing not to. And sometimes that comes from a place of love, and sometimes it comes from a place of simply eliminating that temptation. I can tell you when I was in business, okay, and this is just me using my intellect, Roy would say I came from a place of love. It's okay. It doesn't really matter where it comes from, in my view. But when I was in business, I had to do a lot of business with married men. Many of them very, very late at night. We'd be having dinners, going through things. This was Silicon Valley in the 80s, and it was unusual to be a female executive in Silicon Valley.
In the advertising business, yes.
Yes, and I made sure I had two restaurants that I would go to that had valet service. And at the end of the dinner, I would get up and excuse myself to go to the bathroom, hand my valet ticket to a waiter or someone, give them a tip and say, please go get my car and have it running in the front. So there would be no danger that someone would offer to walk me to my car or, you know, there would be any shenanigans at the end. And it was just it was my ability to preview the possibilities and then to act in the present to avoid those possibilities. So I would say to you, you know, Roy might say, well, that came from a place of love to protect that person's marriage or not to put you both in a situation that would be awkward or some such. But I would say that one of the big advantages we have as humans is to be able to preview, do thought experiments, and then to avoid things that would not come from a place of love. We need not go there.
I need to address myself to that. Rebecca, did you create your own brain? Did you shape it? How did a brain so complicated as yours come? It's sprouting out of a body and out of a little seed and so on and so forth. And what disturbed me by what you said, that it appears to me that you said that your conscience sprouted out of the brain. And so suddenly the material creature that came from evolution suddenly sprouted a spiritual aspect. I think you got it backwards. And I said, I think the spirit descends into the body at birth. It descends. It comes. It descends into it. And we are divinely created, divinely different from all the animals from the very beginning. And no matter how far back you go, as long as you can trace the civilization, if you go back as far as Rome and beyond, and to right to 5,000, 10,000 years ago, people are exactly the same to
Roy, why is the spirit
today. They have spirit.
Why is the spirit, please, because I don't know your answer to this. We just met on this show. So I'm asking from a complete ignorant standpoint. Why is the spirit in the body? Why is it in this apparatus, this biological apparatus?
Well, we're created differently from the animals. If you take a monkey brain, see, and you put the Einstein spirit into that monkey brain is quite sufficient to produce the theory of relativity. But since it doesn't have a direct relationship with God who puts thought into our mind, as opposed to being emotional and having thought put into our mind which is negative, which is causing the conflict. We have a conflict between what is put in our mind to think in a beautiful way that produces a kingdom of heaven on earth with totally different decisions, with morals and values, as opposed for the dark side who sabotages that by intimidating us from practically from the day we're born and keeps us ignorant from ever finding to the salvation of reality.
So why is
I think Roy's just got it on the intimidation factor, because as a sociobiologist, Rebecca, you may be familiar with the notion that there is this might makes right part of our natures that arises from the biology of our prehistory. And the idea that dissent, or that there's always a point of view that wants to crowd out the others. And that's the political aspect of what I've gleaned from your conversation, that there's a nature there. Maybe you can comment on it, Rebecca. Wherefore comes the notion that we must dominate others and that we can't have alternate perspectives?
Well, in earlier times, when we roamed the earth in small tribes, when we encountered another tribe, there was a simple choice. They were either friend or foe. They were going to destroy us and kill all of us and remove our DNA from the surface of the earth, or we were going to conquer them, and it was a very tenuous situation. So naturally, this has descended over millions of years, and sometimes, I think this is common in all humans, you'll just meet someone in about 1 second, you just don't trust them, or you don't like them. And they haven't given you any empirical reason whatsoever. You might know them in a very short amount of time. And many times you're responding to that because those genetic impetuses that were designed to help you survive, they persist for many, many, many millions of years. Now, thankfully...
How does that manifest, though, in the intimidation that Roy's talking about? The notion that...
We come from a hierarchical... Well, first of all, 97% of our genetic material, and Roy is right, we're in a monkey body because we've now broken down the human genome, and we've broken down the genome of our closest ancestor that is walking the planet right now, and that happens to be the bonobo monkey. And we have about 97% of the same genetic material.
Well, I think you're missing the point, Rebecca.
It's not the quality, it's the quantity. It's not the quantity, it's the quality, right?
No, it's the point and the quality. See, if the fact that the tribes ran around wild and attacked each other, but if you look carefully at the history, if you look at Jesus himself, of all the places he could have been born in is Israel, and even then they want to kill him. See?
Yeah.
And so you can assume that even today, if you have a bright child in a classroom, the teacher and the kids, who have all been compromised by the teacher and the school, will attack that kid that's got common sense.
Why?
Common sense is not a gene. It is a spiritual quality that is trying to radiate its light into the world.
There is a genetic reason they want to kill them.
You're missing my point.
I think I'm not missing your point. I'm trying to say that there's a genetic reason that they will not accept exceptional people. This has happened throughout history, as you point out.
Okay, guess what? We have fewer than 15 minutes left of the program. We still have to do a commercial break. So, Rick, do that, and we'll come back, try to get everybody who's on hold. Art and Big Sur, thank you very much for a wonderful, articulate call, and we hope you will continue
to
listen. To listen to KSCO. It's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, in the home stretch of the Saturday special with Roy Masters and Rebecca Costa. I'm MZ. Stay with us. We'll be back after this commercial break.
There's two things almost everyone does almost every day, and Showcase Shower Door can improve both of them for you. Hello, I'm Chris Phillips from Showcase Shower Door in Santa Cruz. It's true. We all take a shower, and we all look into a mirror, almost every day. It's our job at Showcase Shower Door to make those simple tasks as enjoyable as possible for you. Listen.
This is Dr. Duncan McCollum of McCollum Chiropractic. Chris Phillips in Showcase Shower Door has installed an incredibly beautiful shower door up at our house. And I'll tell you, there's nothing better than waking up in the morning and walking into a beautiful shower.
Showcase Shower Door will improve your day by upgrading what you do every day. We'll be happy to come to your home and give you a free estimate on a new shower door, mirrors, or any glass work your home needs to feel good. A proud member of the locally owned business community, we are Showcase Shower Door, 831-234-1983, or showcaseshowerdoor.com.
Food with its farmer's face on it. Hello, Michael Olson here. One of the best things you can do for yourself, your family, and your community is to eat locally grown food. And one of the best places to find that food is at a Monterey Bay Certified Farmer's Market. Certified means the farmer who sells the food is the farmer who grew the food. Listen.
Fresh for you in July at the Monterey Bay Certified Farmers Markets. Apriums, avocados, basil, Blenheim apricots, blueberries, carrots, sweet corn, cucumbers, eggs, flowers, honey, loganberries, nectarines, peaches, pluots, raspberries, rhubarb, strawberries, summer squash, and much more.
To market, to the Monterey Bay Certified Farmers Market for food with its farmer's face on it. Tuesday 9 to 1 at the Barnyard Center in Carmel. Friday 10 to 2 at Monterey Peninsula College. Saturday 8 to noon at Cabrillo College in Aptos. And Sunday 8 to noon at the Del Monte Center in Monterey. See you at the market.
Those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer are now here, and that means...
Wait, let me guess. Baseball, barbecues, girls on the beach?
Well, yes, Charlie, that's true. But it also means it's time for electrical safety.
Oh, of course. Hi, Charlie Friedman here with Chris Jensen from JM Electric. Summer is the time for electrical safety.
That's right, Charlie. Every year, thousands are injured or killed by electricity around the home. But thankfully, we now have incredible technologies today, like arc fault circuit interrupters and tamper-resistant receptacles that can protect you from those electrical fires and shocks. JM Electric is happy to help folks out with a free home assessment to see if any of these devices or our current safe testing services are a good fit for their home.
Give my friends at JM Electric a call. They'll come to your home, have an expert look at your electrical systems, and tell you what can be done to make your home safe, just like they did for my home, and their visit won't cost you a dime. Give JM Electric a call at 422-7819 or visit jmelectric.com or on Facebook and tell them Charlie sent you.
Coast Paper and Supply has been family-owned and operated since 1948. They have a wide array of products available, including brand name and eco-friendly cleaning supplies, paper goods, and compostable plates, cups, and cutlery. Whether your needs are for business or home, Coast Paper and Supply's friendly and reliable staff have what you're looking for. They even accommodate special orders. You can find them at 151 Josephine on River Street in Santa Cruz, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 4:30, or call at 831-423-3350. Coast Paper and Supply is a proud member of Think Local First.
Okay, we're back in the home stretch of our program, just short of 10 minutes remaining. We have a number of people on the line, and I think we have Roy on ISDN. Roy, are you there?
I sound much more
beautiful. You sound much better now, yes. Much more commanding and more godlike.
Yes, that's
so,
right.
By the way, Bob has sent an email, food for thought. You are not in your body looking out. Your body is in you, Bob and Carmel. Thank you, Bob and Carmel. MZ at KSCO.com is the email for me. Probably won't have much time to read emails for the rest of the program if we're going to bring everybody who's been waiting online.
Can I make a point?
Yeah, go ahead, Roy, real quick here, because we want to bring
in
everybody.
I'm enjoying our respectful debate, and I have to be firm, and she has to be firm, too, in her beliefs.
Yes.
So let me be firm. I believe that Rebecca has an insecurity that she's compensated with her intellect to justify her weaknesses with hugumversity. And so, and you, I have to criticize you, MZ, because when she says that we are genetically disposed to that, you tend to agree with her and become enabled her.
I what?
Yeah, you did.
What do I know about that?
I know, but...
I'm just an airhead.
No, but you tend to be
an
enabler.
I'm an inferior intellect.
Yeah, okay. All righty, so let's go to Mike in Watsonville. Mike, welcome to KSCO, the Saturday special. You're on.
Yeah, hey, MZ, I got to agree with Roy on when he said that you are by far the best moderator, you know, in radio. Like, you just, I don't know how you have the courage to just stay out of it sometimes, you know?
I just answered that, Mike. I'm an airhead. Underneath it all, I'm an airhead.
No.
These guys are out of my league, you know?
You are a really great host, and I have to agree with Kay. I don't always agree with Kay, but I have to agree with her as when she said that Roy... It has kind of a mean nature, you know, and it just comes off that way, right? And you know, I do respect what you say, and I think you, I know that you really know a lot of stuff.
Yes.
But sometimes you have a mean way of coming
across. Well, with all due respect, would you just set aside the mean part and accept the good part? That's all I want you to do.
I'll try to do that. And Rebecca, if you if you don't stand for anything, you know, and it's good to hear a show without left and right. You know, this is a really good Saturday special.
Why, thank you.
I think it's wonderful.
Yeah.
I think it is, too. You guys are doing great. Okay.
All right, thank you, Mike, in Watsonville. Here's Keith from I don't know where in California. Keith, you're on the air with Roy and Rebecca and MZ.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
I have to say this is the first time I've listened to the show. And I am, this is a great show to listen to for the first time.
But it's not a good show to listen to for the last time. I can assure you of that.
Well, if you have more discussions like this, I could listen more often.
Go to KSCO.com. Oh, have you been listening to the station very much?
Actually, I just started listening to it within the last couple of weeks.
How did you discover us, Keith?
I discovered it because I was reading Rebecca's book, The Watchman's Rattle.
I'll be damned.
Well,
Rebecca, I'll be damned. Rebecca, you've been telling me this for years, and now it's reinforced.
Thanks for that plug.
Well, I've got The Hypnotic States of America, and you should read that book.
Well, actually, I'll tell you what. I actually, because I heard of this show coming up, I went to Roy's website, and I listened to a little bit of his programming, too, because I didn't want to be uninformed as to either side of this discussion. Unfortunately, I didn't have enough time to do as much research as I would like to do. But I just want to make some general comments about the tenor of the show and my opinions about the two sides of the show.
Keith, I wish we could have gotten to you sooner, but please keep it to a minute because I want to get with Tammy and Don before the end of the show.
Okay.
Okay, and we only have like 4 minutes, so.
All right, well, here you go. I'll give you a real brief bottom line, and then I'm sure I'll release a flurry of comments. Roy's position seems to be very anchored in, how shall I say this, infancy. Roy seems to react a whole lot like a child. He's very judgmental, and he's very defensive, and he becomes aggressive when people disagree with him. There does not seem to be a whole lot of rational discussion when there's an opinion that does not align with his. And this seems to come out of a very insecure person's sort of background, someone who, when there's a challenge to his intellect, attacks the person
I attack you
directly.
When you're wrong.
Okay.
I attack you when you're wrong.
There it is. There it is.
I attack you when you're wrong.
Keith, Keith and Roy, you got to come on, 30 seconds, because I want to give the other people time. They've been waiting.
And see, Roy doesn't let anybody finish. So he takes the discussion from an elevated position of intellect to the one of gutter, and he seems to do this quite a lot. That's one of the observations that I have. There's a whole list.
Have you heard of Roy before now?
Nope, never heard him before.
Oh, okay.
This is my only.
I invite you to listen on KOMY weeknights from 9 to 10 p.m. Roy has his own show that we carry live. It's called The Advice Line. Keith,
okay.
Please, just keep listening to KSCO. You're going to find a lot of other programs that you like. And so, yeah, thank you very much for calling. Tammy in Boulder Creek is up next. Tammy, you're on the air.
Hi, yeah.
Hi.
Well, famous words, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, right?
Okay.
So our situation right now, especially with that shooting that took place in Colorado, is that there's a huge move towards gun control. The gun stores are selling like hand over fist. And, you know, in terms of why we're here, Rebecca, I really want to just express that we're all incarnations of God. We are all walking spirits, and we're here to grow. Our position is to grow. And when we die, we go to the eternal spiritual world where we have an eternal relationship with the invisible God. But we are the visible form of God that has a relationship separately while we're here. We come one there. Everybody here, think about it, all the people you love, you get to see forever there. And we're here to multiply, to have babies, because otherwise there couldn't be a physical world of growth. So anyway, the point of protecting our babies and protecting our future is that I think human beings have a responsibility, the rights given to us by the Constitution to keep and bear arms are the teeth of the Constitution. if that, as Corey Gold said, shooting had happened in a theater in Israel, the guy would have been riddled with bullets before he could have shot off three or four shots.
Yeah.
So I really think that there
you,
should also
you were down, Roy. You were potted down, but I thought I heard you say you're damn right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and there shouldn't be, if there's no standing army, if there's no standing army, you know, that we pay for, then they can't have a government that oppresses us.
Okay.
You know, so we need,
Tammy,
it be
you're bringing up great, I'm sorry. I wish, I should have put you on sooner.
Anyway.
Thank you very much. Don and Salinas, you're it. Hurry up.
Okay, two things real fast. First, genetic material only enables us to survive on this earth. That's all that it does. We share in the 90th percentile with a myriad of other species. Name one species in the history of the earth that's even come close to us technologically, spiritually, or intellectually. Nothing. And then number two, Roy Masters is great at exposing the kabuki theater that is intellectual conversations, and he shakes people up to make them drop their masks. I like that. And lastly, Kay was actually accused of fostering hate speech by Sam Farr, so she shouldn't be too rough on Roy.
Okay. All right. Hey, thank you so much. Yeah, Roy, Sam Farr is our local congressperson.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. And Bill Wattenberg has no use for the guy.
Oh, still.
You know?
I'll just tell what he says anyway.
Anyhow, Rebecca and Roy, great show. Thank you so much for
being
with
Rebecca.
Us.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It was great meeting.
And we will close. We will close with a quick email from Vernon, Vernon, Vernon. And the subject line that says, I've come to love and appreciate these words. Whoever undertakes to set himself up as a judge of truth and knowledge is shipwrecked by the laughter of the gods. And
that's
a quote from Albert Einstein. Thank you, Vernon, 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 Vernon. Wait a minute. That's all, folks. That's what comes up next here, right?
That's all, folks.
KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose, and the world. We join CBS News in progress.
One by one, friends and family remembered Jessica Gowie, the 24-year-old who was shot once in the head and died on the theater floor.
You knew when she entered a room, not just because of the beautiful redhead, but because of the positive, high energy that surrounded her.
Her boyfriend, Jay Meloff, near tears.
Jessica was a spitfire, a tough little redheaded spitfire.
Talking about her charity work in Colorado, her family says the aspiring sportscaster would have wanted everyone to know about the 11 other victims as well. Michael Board for CBS News, San Antonio.
A memorial service also held for Staff Sergeant Jesse Childress at the Air Force Base in Aurora today, and 27-year-old Matt McGuinn being laid to rest in his hometown of Springfield, Ohio. Mitt Romney has just arrived at the second stop on his foreign tour.
Mitt Romney's visit is a strong statement of support for Israel. And it's a message to the American people, says Israeli analyst Gerald Steinberg.
It's part of a campaign swing that every presidential candidate has to do to demonstrate the ability to deal with the hot spots in the region. Coming to Israel is a strong way of demonstrating that.
The visit is also a clear appeal for the Jewish vote back home. Robert Berger, CBS News, Jerusalem.
Penn State is mired in lawsuits over the child sex abuse scandal, but in an interview airing tomorrow on CBS's Face the Nation, University President Rodney Erickson said he hopes it's all resolved quickly.
We believe that that we are adequately covered. In addition to that, we hope to be able to settle as many of these cases as quickly as possible.
This is CBS News.
I'd like to start today's class by turning to the appendix.
This is what you'll hear at most schools.
The result of the seminal Locklaw-Brewster hypothesis.
But at Colorado Technical University, most instructors have actually worked in the field they teach. So classes sound more like this.
I'd like to tell you guys a lesson I learned the hard way in my first year in management.
Sound better? Check it out for yourself at ctuschools.com. That's ctuschools.com. CTU. Are you in?
Dancing with the moon.
GoRadio.com. Explore our worlds.
New research suggests it's not so good for a pregnant woman to keep working up to her due date.
Women who work after their eighth month of pregnancy, of babies averaging a half a pound lighter than those who stopped work at 6 months, and older mothers, the effect is even greater. Small babies have an increased risk of poor health and slow development. University of Essex researchers found late-stage working is as harmful as smoking. Their research in the Journal of Labor Economics covers 40,000 women. The author suggests maternity leave should be offered before the baby is born rather than after. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
Her dancing skills were questioned the first time around, but Bristol Palin will be back on Dancing with the Stars. There's been some criticism of her family's growing profile on reality TV, but the daughter of former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin says she's just trying to provide for her son. Also on the All-Star edition of the show, Pamela Anderson, Kirstie Alley, and Apollo Ono. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
12:05 on this Saturday afternoon, July 28th. You're tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Rick O'Shea with a King of the Hill traffic update, and the speeds everywhere, no matter which way you slice it, are slow. Northbound 1 out of Bay Porter, 41st Avenue into Santa Cruz, very slow out of Bay Porter. 17 North, that's fine, no real trouble. Southbound, however, a lot of people coming into the area, and we are seeing backup from the 85 connection all the way through the Lex and Los Gatos. And this traffic on 17 actually starts even north from 880 south into San Jose is slow. And it's going to slow again as you hit Ocean Street. 101 southbound has a series of accidents, most notably 101 southbound at San Martin Avenue. This was a major accident involving a motorcyclist. The two left lanes finally reopened in the last 20 minutes. They have been closed for the better part of 2 hours.